This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, New World Report, with my colleagues Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society, and Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil. Gentlemen, a earthquake in South America, the victory of Gustavo Petro, known once upon a time as an ex-Marxist guerrilla, now the president-elect of Colombia, the strongest ally the United States has in South America, excepting Brazil. But right now, the 62-year-old economist is president-elect. And what we're looking at is celebratory quotes, for example, from the Financial Times, from Dario Villamizar, a former M19 militant who's written about the guerrillas and has known Petro for years. He says, for the first time, a man who doesn't belong to the elite, who's not from the traditional parties, who's not from the same old families, will be president. That's the great importance of this moment. Joseph, I begin with you because it's been some days now that Petro is president. Colombia is still there. The world has not been rocked. And yet, what can we expect from now president-elect Petro that is different from candidate to the presidency Petro? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. So, yes, I think we're now past the romance period where people are now starting to settle on what are President Petro's policies going to look like. And much like here in Washington and other in Bogota, personnel is also policy. So they're looking at what his cabinet appointments. So far, the only person that he's formally announced is who's going to be his foreign minister, which is a gentleman named Alvaro Leyva. Alvaro Leyva is well known. He was actually part of the Santos government for a while. He was a peace envoy during the negotiations with the FARC for the FARC peace deal. And so he's an individual that's well known to Washington, that's well known in the international community, very close to the United Nations. And so he's what you would call maybe more of a moderate establishment pick by President Petro. Didn't really alarm anybody with that selection, although, you know, he is someone that's known to have some sympathies to the FARC in terms of peace negotiations. And I think that, John, is a narrative that Petro is going to play up between now and his inauguration, because he's essentially projecting himself as the new president of peace, kind of juxtaposing the previous administrations as governments of war. And I think in that, the interesting part is how that message is being amplified by governments that are usually an opposite to Colombia, such as the Venezuelan government. They've created a disinformation campaign called Diálogos de Paz, which is Dialogue of Peace. And that's echoing what now President-elect Petro is also promoting. He also announced a new Ministry of Citizen Security and Peace. So basically, the Ministry of Security that currently exists, he wants to reform it to focus more on peace negotiations with likely the ELN, which is the last remaining major narco-terrorist group that's active. The FARC dissidents are active, but they've been less so in recent times.
Ernesto, a very good evening to you. The significance immediately to my reading is that Petro's victory means that the election in Brazil, upcoming in the fall, now has the example one more time of a left-of-center candidate winning with a populist message. What does that mean for President Bolsonaro? What does it mean to Lula da Silva? Lula da Silva is no fresh wind. He has been president before, but does this mean the left-of-center policies are riding a tidal wave?
Yes, John, good evening. This can be a wake-up call for many people in Brazil, especially on the Bolsonaro camp. That's not what's happening now. This should be a wake-up call. But the interpretation on the Bolsonaro camp is that Petro won just because many people abstained from voting, but the abstention level was the same as it used to be in Colombia. So that's not the reason. I think the interpretation is rather that the, let's say, the conservative or right of center governments have not have not done what they should have done in order to extricate from the political system things like the proposal of Petro, which is a communist with a terrorist past, which is not denying that terrorist and communist that terrorist past and communist present, right? So the Duque government, I admire a lot President Duque, but and his party, but they clearly didn't do what they should have done in order to avoid this, in order to do what also what President Piñera should have done in Chile in confronting those proposals, those regimes of the São Paulo Forum. As a foreign minister since 2019, I tried to mobilize other countries, other foreign ministers, in order to see this as a joint threat. And that's what's playing out now in Peru, in Chile, now in Colombia. Those are not individual happenings, those individual facts. Those are concerted around the idea of the São Paulo Forum, right? And they benefit from the more than $1 trillion that Lula stole from the Brazilian people through different means, through the development bank and through the construction companies. I mean, he stole for himself, but not only for himself, he stole basically for this joint project. This $1 trillion is somewhere playing in favor of Petro, in favor of other narco-communist regimes in the region. So it should be a wake-up call for Brazil. For Lula, it's great because it shows that everything that he planned since the beginning of the 90s with Fidel Castro is playing out, and now they almost have the whole of South America for them.
Joseph, I come to you about the immediate future, which is the open conflict along the Venezuela-Colombia border. We talked about this extensively, and you have a podcast, which I recommend to everyone who has the Spanish, understand it'll be in English soon enough, called Border Wars. The general topic is that there's an ongoing conflict because of narco-terrorism, because of outside bad actors like Russia and Tehran and China, and because the Caracas regime under Maduro welcomes bad actors and welcomes the money of narco-terrorism and has actively sought to undermine the governance in Bogota. Does Petro's election mean that the border wars are now solved, and not in a positive fashion, but that Maduro and Petro will be working together?
John, actually, the border conflict between Colombia and Venezuela played to the favor of Petro because it gives him the impetus to be able to use the conflict as a negotiating tactic and tool to be able to integrate Colombia and Venezuela. In fact, this is something that Nicolas Maduro tried to do with the Arauca conflict. He tried to basically trick President Duque to come to the negotiating table, to be able to gain leverage, to have presence inside Colombia. Now, thankfully, President Duque did not fall for that. But in this case, I think he has a much more sympathetic leader in Colombia, Gustavo Petro, which I see that's what he's going to do.
The narco-terrorism money, Joseph, you've instructed me to understand it's a major part of the Maduro regime. Is it going to be blocked out in Colombia now? We know that there was trouble in Medellin. We know there was trouble in Cali. It was paid for from outside. Is that going to continue? And the ELN, you've speculated that Petro will enter into negotiations with the ELN in similar fashion to negotiations once upon a time with FARC. Isn't negotiating with the ELN negotiating with Maduro directly?
Yeah, John, the challenge here is not so much the negotiating with these criminal groups. It's the offering of impunity for the crimes that they've committed in the past and the crimes they're currently committing today. That was the major flaw of the FARC peace deal, because it offered a path for the FARC to demobilize, but it didn't punish them for any of the brutal crimes. I mean, we're talking about recruitment of child soldiers, major homicides, terrorist attacks. It didn't offer any consequences or a price to be paid for all the brutal crimes they committed in the past. And that is a horrible message or precedent to be set. And that's what I'm worried that can happen with the ELN. The ELN was in charge of bombing the police academy in January 2019, killing police cadets. If you don't punish that, then that gives a perverse incentive for them to commit more of those atrocious actions because they start to realize their political power.
Ernesto, you have taught me to understand that a major gang in South America, maybe all of the New World, is a Brazilian gang that was recently implicated in the murder of a prosecutor from South America who was on vacation in Colombia. Is that gang empowered in some fashion, knowing that the ELN is probably going to get a pass and that the ELN will continue active in narco-terrorism? Does that empower Brazil?
Oh, definitely. You refer to the PCC, the Brazilian acronym for that huge gang. There are others in Brazil, unfortunately, but this is the largest. And they will gain much ground with Petro in power in Colombia. Half of the Amazonas state in Brazil, some people say, is already in the hands of the narco regimes or narco trafficking. This is exactly bordering Colombia and Peru, so it will be much easier for them to operate from there. And there's obviously money flowing here and there, and this PCC gang, they have their political appointees, so to say, or their candidates for political office in many places. This will obviously favor the campaigns of those candidates that are tolerant or linked to PCC in many places in Brazil. So it's really a nightmare what we're going through.
And your observation about Venezuela and Colombia working together, is that credible to you? You know all these players at the foreign ministry level. Yes. They can see this possibility. Can they intervene?
They're going to work together. Well, one thing that you mentioned before that I think is concerning is, and that Joseph mentioned, is the stance of the newly appointed foreign minister, Leyva, from Colombia. Because I think this is a sign that the whole, international community will see things the wrong way, that Colombia, they know, I mean, the new government will try to place themselves as peaceful and trying to go hand in hand with peaceful proposals for Venezuela and elsewhere. The multilateral system, the UN, for example, has always been turned a blind eye to Maduro's regime. So I see that as a big problem. The way the international community is going to perceive what is going on in Colombia and the rest of South America. And behind the scenes, they're going to coordinate all sorts of criminal activity with Venezuela, that's for sure. But the pretense will be of, okay, we're a conciliatory government. We have this foreign minister who is someone with good international and the international community will do nothing.
Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil. Joseph Umar, executive director of Secure Free Society. We're marching to the sound of protest. We're going to Ecuador next. Quito, negotiations between the government and indigenous groups over energy. Energy is a crisis worldwide. It translates into food. It translates into prosperity or not. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.